Outrageous.
Takes a lot of contribution to that.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 403.5, Supreme Feedback.
Duskmon intro and Sakakumon arc feedback.
Recorded.
April
6th. 2035. We're time traveling back, like Takuya did in the episodes we're talking about. Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour of the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and today it's just me and fellow Trailmon Ashley McDonald.
I'm just giving Jeff weird faces, like, why did you pick 2035?
I don't know. Anyway, and I also lied, because it's not just the two of us, because we have our annoying cat.
Yeah, we have our very annoying cat.
Maybe you heard him through the intro, because he was rubbing the microphone throughout the intro. I wanted to start off with a new segment that, I don't know if you noticed in the notes, Ashley, Life Updates.
Life Updates, I did not. I
just
figured,
like, we just got back from traveling, and people might be interested. We went to a conference about queerness in video games and helped do the live streaming.
Yeah, Jeff's biased because his sister runs it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's called QGCon. Hopefully the videos that we helped record through live stream will be, I think you can go to twitch.tv/QGCon and see the videos now and all, like, the archive Twitch things, but eventually they'll be broken down into videos on YouTube and stuff. Anyway, they're really cool. Yeah. Queerness, it's cool. Games, it's cool. Together.
You combine them. it's ultra cool.
Yeah, most of the talks are more academic, come from an academic perspective. And so it's a little, in a, not inaccessible, it's a little bit, it could be a little jarring if you don't expect that, but I still think it's really interesting. And they, yeah, if you're interested at all in academic perspective, and a bunch of them aren't really that academic either. Like, a bunch of them were like, in years past, they were more
these ones were much, far more accessible than some in the past, where I was like, what is your point? What's happening?
Well, it's just like, if you're well-versed in the scholarly discourse, it's easy to follow. But if you're not, then it's like, what is going on? Anyway, that's cool. I figure we can do this in the future and actually ask Ash and Andrew in advance, because I'm like, I don't know what's going on with them.
Updates do we have today? John Oates came to my office, and we.
But what about Ash and Andrew? I don't know what's going on with them. I'm always like desynced from time, especially with like Ash's
Ash
school.
Ash is getting ready for whatever your Jew holiday is.
Christmas.
Christmas, yes.
Wait, no. What is it? Is it Passover? Yes, because it syncs up with Easter.
Sure. Yes.
Because
yes.
Andrew's mom was Jewish, actually.
Yes, Passover. He's getting ready for that.
Angemon Day. Anyway, yes.
I don't know what Andrew's doing. I assume Andrew's being Andrew, watching anime.
New anime season, that's a life update.
Yeah.
It's both an exciting and so far underwhelming anime season a little bit, because I expected there to be like, oh my god, there's so much to watch. And it's like, the main thing so far have been Attack on Titan season 2 and My Hero Academia season 2. And if you haven't already watched those, there's not too much. It's like, oh my god, you need to watch it. Anyway, enough with life updates. So we got some answers to our fortnightly-ish question, because it has not been fortnightly since 4 or 2.5. And so the question was, whose backstory did you like the most? So this is among the backstories we got in this arc, because for some reason it started to go, oh, let's go into the backstories. The first response was from Jacob Chapman on Twitter, friend of the show, Jacob Chapman. And he said, Takuya's episode 22 is among the best Digimon episodes, period. Fight me, nerds.
We might fight you.
No, I actually, I don't know. I feel like people would contest whether it is better than Adventure episode 21 or not, but I don't think they would contest that it's not one of the better episodes of Digimon.
I was underwhelmed, and now I kind of feel bad about it, given everybody's love of it.
Right, like in the episode, you kind of just were like, it's stupid, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Sorry, I need to find it.
You need to find it. I don't like it.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, Koji says, I don't like it, but Gilman says,
in a box.
This is basically, the soundboard is basically those little things, like you would, You would spin it, and then it'd be like, the farmer says.
Okay.
The Gilman says. Anyway.
I don't know. I just didn't like it like that much. Like, it's not bad. It's just not, like, amazing.
Coconut Buyer in the chat says they also didn't like it. So, you know, I guess we proved it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine not to like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a whole discussion thing about it more. Like, I've had some more... My thoughts have digivolved since last time. But it's more... Anyway, one of the points that I want to bring up is how it's, like... It's a thought-provoking episode in this kind of context. In a, like, let's discuss the ramifications and analyze the hell out of Digimon. But outside of that context, I can see how it's, like, well, it wasn't, you know... If you're not doing lots of extra analysis on top of each episode, it's like, okay, well, it's kind of annoying. Anyway, next answer came from Toma the Yoshi, also on Twitter, and they said, obviously Tommy for me because it felt like the most real scenario, and it's a situation I really connected with. Takuya is close second, and JP third.
What was Tommy's?
Tommy's was the situation with, like, not really getting along with his brother, because his brother was just, like, teasing him, but then once he interacted with, oh, I can't remember the name now, the guy with the faces that swapped the faces.
Well, I really don't remember.
Asuraman, I think, was his name. Once he saw that, like, Asuraman was basically pretending to be a friend in order to get Tommy's affection, he, I guess, like, kind of remembered what it was like to be a friend, he realized that Asuraman was being selfish, which reminded him of his brother, who was telling him to not be selfish. And yeah, I feel like that was a much more, I don't know, I don't want to, like, outright say that Matt and TK's relationship as siblings or Ty and Kari's relationship as siblings was unrealistic, because it's not completely unrealistic. But I think the antagonistic relationship between siblings is more common experience. Like, I feel like
but that's because Kari's not a human.
Right, she has no desires or wants or anything. She just is there to serve.
She's just a vessel, and... to teach Ty a lesson that you can't, whatever he did that made him sad.
She's possessed by homeostasis. Homo. Kari homo. Anyway.
You're getting weird.
And another response from the Dizzy Wolf. They said, I really relate to Tommy's story, but I think Koji's has the most potential to be really emotional.
No, because Koji is
okay.
Koji's is based on a crazy lie.
If you were in Koji's shoes, that would be the most emotional situation. But the point where you get to Koji's shoes, it's like, how would you even know? Like, because there's even this whole, like, side of it that's not addressed by the narrative, which is like, Koji should, like, reject his dad. Like, just be like, no, dad, you are terrible. Like, I'm never talking to you again. You, like, hid my mother from me. Like,
yeah, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what happens when they go back home after this digital world jaunt and are just like, the hell is wrong with
you? Yeah.
It must be great. I actually want to see a series on that. Why can't that be the Digimon series?
AR Pulver in the chat mentioned that the, not Home Away From Home episode. I can't remember the name of the episode in the dub. It's some silly, like, Socket to Kuya.
It
was like,
that one?
Was the next one. The one where he goes to Tokyo. Anyway, A.R. Pulver mentioned that they said it's probably in the top 20 Digimon episodes, but not the top 10. Yeah, I would say, like, I think it gave me a lot of interesting things to think about, but I guess I wouldn't actually, like, really put it that high. I'm curious, next time we have Jacob on the show, we need to, like, grill him on...
Yo, we need to do a special episode with him just about that episode and be like, wait a second, bro.
But why? It was my initial reaction after seeing that tweet. I was like, oh, I didn't realize Jacob had intense thoughts about Frontier. Like, most people are just like, yeah, I'm in it for Tamers and Adventure, but, like, anything else, nope. So, like, I just assumed, like, I didn't even think about having guests on for episodes because, like, no one cares about Frontier. We care about Frontier.
Anyway.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm telling you, you do. We also got some voicemail answers to these questions. The first one came in from, how should I order this? Alphabetically. Okay. First one came in from Allie, and I haven't pre-screened two of these. I pre-screened one of them. So this will be a thrill. This will be a roller coaster.
Can't imagine which one you pre-screened.
Let me just check the time. How much time do we have? Okay, we still have time. Okay, here we go. This is silent.
Can I don't hear anything.
Okay. That did not work. What is up with that? I think I may have muted the system. Yes, I muted our system audio. Cool. I was like, oh God, what do we do? What do we do? This is live. Oh no. We're timed. Everyone's listening. Oh no. Speaking of live and messing up, hopefully we totally messed up the QGCon live stream in the beginning.
We did?
No, I mean like the audio.
Oh yeah.
It was getting the wrong audio input. So you might, if you go back and watch some of the talk,
we didn't know that for like a solid 3 to 4 hours.
Because it was getting the audio of the speaker, but it was basically getting it from a webcam that was set up way far in the back. So it was picking up the audio from the room, which was amplified inside the room. But then it also, when we were standing near the webcam discussing how to fix the stream, it would also pick up that. I'm kind of scared to like hear what kind of stuff we were talking. Like, I'm just like worried that we were like bickering each other and like,
probably.
Why isn't it working? And then people are like, who are these people?
It's going to be amazing.
Anyway, yes, I think the audio is set up correctly now. So now let's hear Allie.
I like Tommy's backstory the best because it talks about how to deal with friendship and how not to be a spoiled brat, which is someone I used to be when I was his age.
I'm glad that we have all turned from being Tommy is the worst as children to Tommy is the best as adults.
I was actually expecting that voicemail to take a different turn, because when she said, like, I used to be Tommy, I thought they were going to say, like, their sibling was Tommy, and, like, I hated them or something.
Hated them. That would be great.
Yeah, I guess everyone kind of, well, I guess not everyone. Most people have a turn from being spoiled to not being spoiled. I feel like most people don't look back and think of themselves as spoiled, though. You just made a face like you were never spoiled.
Or you no, I was watching the cat try to attack the blanket setup.
Also, in life updates, our cat is attacking our blanket setup, apparently.
And I was like, please don't knock it over.
It'll be fun. Next voicemail comes in from May of Lost in Translation Month.
I find Zoe's episode to be probably, I really like it. I mean, like, it's not probably the best episode, but her backstory just seemed to resonate with me more than the other ones because I had a similar sort of problem when I was young making friends. So to see it, it's kind of like, I don't know, it makes you feel things. And while it might not be the best episode because Takuya's probably is the best, I feel like this is just the episode that resonates with me the most. And that's why I think I like that one the most. Also, I'm pretty sure this is the episode where we first actually see her do something when she evolves. So that's also pretty cool.
That's a good point. It's such a low bar. It's like
somebody has to defend Zoe, I guess.
But it's really frustrating, especially, I mean, if you follow us on social media, you would have seen a while ago the like GIFs and images of her. Her scanning sequence is really cool. It's really a shame that I think it only shows up in that one instance. Maybe it has later when it's
wait. Does that mean that what's Koichi's not Duskmon thing?
Spoilers.
Okay, Spoilermon.
Does it matter at this point? I mean, most people have heard, but I mean, is it relevant, the name?
Okay, no. Spoilermon scans Shujijimon within the first, like, 3 appearances of him.
Yeah, just depending on how I count it. But yeah, it's really frustrating. It's like almost like it's given so much. It's like a Susie gets more of a, like, a quicker card swipe sequence than Zoe gets of a scanning sequence.
Gosh darn it.
it's so frustrating. And yeah, I think it's, I guess Takuya's the only one that doesn't tackle friendship. Because both these responses have gotten like, okay, well, I liked X because the way they dealt with friendship. And they, even though they're all dealing with friendship, they all dealt with friendship in different ways. I still find it ultimately frustrating that there was that unifying theme to all these struggles except for Takuya. There was this unifying theme. It's not the live stream. Unifying theme that they never really addressed in the narrative and never talked to. Like, they could just be like, oh, cool, we are all connected. Because
Takuya is popular boy, okay? He can't struggle to.
We don't actually friendship. See him have friends.
You just assume that he does, though.
You just assume because he can kick a soccer ball that he has friends.
Yeah.
That's actually a plot point in Atmon, though.
Oh, that, great.
I mean, I don't think it's spoiling too much, but there's an episode of Atmon that kind of like goes into the, like, why is Haru friends with this soccer guy who is like, seems like the coolest, most popular guy. And it's like, he was, well, I mean, My interpretation of anything Atmon is really limited since I don't understand Japanese that well and I'm watching in raw Japanese, but I'm pretty sure what went
Jeff on. Jeff could be it. Telling you so many alternative facts about yeah. what he thinks the show is about.
Eugene basically like was so good at soccer and kind of arrogant about it, and that pissed off everyone. They didn't want to play with him, and then Haru was the one person who was like, no, I'll play with you still. And
well,
it's sweet.
It's what happens with Tsunamon, right? They're playing soccer, and then they're like, no, you can't play.
They were scared of him because he grew a horn, and they were like, that's too phallic. So, and puberty. Okay, anyway, so the last voicemail comes in from Mercurymon.
Great.
Greetings, fair thespians of Odigis. Tis I, Mercurymon, and I'm here to be a wiping of the lens, if it were, giving you my opinions on this week's fortnightly question. Whose backstory did I like the most? Well, it must be that of Koji's, dealing with the death of his mother while not showing the affections to his new mother, is downright Elizabethan in its approach. I was quite moved. Oh, and by the way, if you think I'm using these big words as a careless attempt to seem intellectually superior than thou, then thou art mistaken, and an insolent fool at best. No matter. I enjoy your program very much, and now I shall bid you adieu in song.
Oh boy.
Hey baby, feel the blues a-calling for spirits and digi-eggs.
Oh goodness.
And baby, I see my, oh good lord.
I think I'm okay now. Wow. That was really, really bad.
It always goes into a direction that I cannot see coming.
This blew my mind because I was like, oh my god, I never connected him to Fraser. Oh my god, he totally is Fraser. Oh my god. Oh my god. I was scared because I was like, I don't actually know if you've seen, do you know Fraser?
Right? I've seen Fraser. Okay. Yes.
I don't know. There's some things that you are like completely, that you should be culturally aware of that you're just like, I've never seen that. But it was on like reruns.
All the time.
I thought that was a great connection. I'm like, oh my god, I wish I had, you know, seen that connection while we watched the episode. And now, too late. He's gone. Fraser's gone.
Aww.
Also, it also made me think about how like, Mercurymon was like doing all this talk about like acting and stuff, right? And like he basically brings them into himself and then like sets up these scenarios where he's watching them and like watching them play out. I wish they'd done a little bit more with that of him like being kind of behind the scenes, being like, oh, I'm watching this show is so great or whatever. Instead, he's just like not there and then he's there and they attacks to it. And it's like, okay. I mean, it would have like, he's like, I guess it, I don't know. I guess it's always confusing that like he exists within himself. So it would have been even weird if we had seen him like in a control room of himself. But it's weird regardless. Yeah. Aira Pulver mentions that we'll still have Christopher Walken, and
don't we?
We have already recorded that episode, but no one else got it except for.
It's true, I didn't get it. I'm sorry.
It wasn't
Epic on... Epic just fail on my part.
It wasn't on reruns on network television, so...
Yep. That's,
Well, I mean, SNL was. But apparently, you're all too good to watch SNL. Okay, so now for some... We have a bunch of different categories of feedback this time. So we're going to try and plow through this. First off, we have some feedback about the April Fool's episode 018, which was falsely labeled episode 404.
Yeah.
Because, you
know, we're having a real episode 404.
We have a real 404 coming. But, you know, it was too tempting to pass up having... Maybe people haven't gone to our page, like gone to podage.com and typed in random gibberish before, because I don't know why you do that. Ever since we launched the podcast, we've had a 404 page, a custom 404 page, when you enter podage.com/something, it doesn't actually exist, which is Infermon eating the Bodemon logo. I guess I should have updated that for the new logos, but it's just eating the Bodemon logo.
That seems like way too much effort.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, once we actually do 404, we need to like, and I was like, oh, it's like so close to being when we actually released 404, April Fool's was, so I adjusted the schedule a little bit, and yeah, that was,
yeah,
it mattered to me, and I think no one else. It lined up so well.
We were all like, whatever, Jeff, just, you want us, we're doing this episode, and we've done the real episode, cool.
So we asked people how, when they figured out what was going on, and how, to be clear, there was the intro segment, which, I mean, I think people probably figured was something was out pretty soon once it started becoming awkwardly scripted, since none of us are actors. And
I don't know what you're talking about, Jeffrey.
And then after that, we covered Power Rangers, a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers episode that we pretended was episode 30. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right number? 30. And then a episode of Thomas the Tank Engine, and then the Locomotion music video. I'm actually really happy we covered Power Rangers, because, like, now when everyone's talking about the Power Rangers movie, I'm like, I understand who Rita is.
That's true.
I understand what a Zord is.
It was so madness, though, watching it. I was like, oh my god, what is happening? I used to watch this as a child, but I never understood. Really? Yeah.
I was like, no.
You never watched it?
And I was like, I'm above this.
Wow, you're cool.
I'm too cool for this.
Yeah.
That's as evidence.
By your Digimon podcast? Yeah.
What is that? As evident by?
I don't know.
As evident by our Digimon podcast, 15 years later, we are so cool.
We are the coolest.
Anyway, Digigogglehead Boy on Twitter said, just in response to the episode, why would you do this to me?
We have to. It's April Fool's.
I don't know if that was before, like, where they were in the episode when they said that. Internal Tiger 151, aka Jeremiah Bauer, said, I figured it out as I went on with all the red suit and all the dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs.
Did we talk about dinosaurs that much?
I mean, we talked about how they turned into a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably a giveaway.
Well, maybe we're covering Attack on Titan now, because apparently that's a thing in the opening of Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. And Zoe's my favorite. Is it Jack Oles or Jack Ease? Jack Oles. Anyway.
I've always thought it was an L. But
yeah, I guess it is an L.
I don't know.
How to pronounce that. Anyway, maybe it's Jack Less. And also the 3-in-1, maybe it's like E, maybe it's Jack Lessie?
Maybe.
No, I don't think it is. Anyway, they said, third year and I was finally ready for this episode.
I think
we tricked her pretty badly the past 2 years.
The past 2 years, but now you've all got the pattern recognition down.
Yeah, we need to mix it up next time. We need to actually cancel the show, like a day before April Fool's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool.
I'm sure Asher would be fine with that. Yeah.
We should actually just announce what we're doing now and then, like, see who remembers it then.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious. We should have thought of that.
What was I thinking that we should do?
What would we even be covering?
Life. We'll have transcended.
Life.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, we actually got some feedback about Tamers. What's Tamers? I don't remember Tamers. This is from a Tumblr anon, and they said, I'm really late with this, but in regards to your discussion about whether Rika or Henry is the rival character of Tamers, I just thought I should mention some people view Henry as the rival because a lot of old Japanese promotional material with the rivals, like Best Aimer, for example, I'm not sure what that's referring to, tend to include Henry and or Ryo. Well, Ryo.
Ew. Not that guy. I enjoyed forgetting about that guy.
Although, to be honest, that's probs just Ew. Because...
Not that guy. Not this again. Oh about that guy. Oh my guy.
God, what's going on? That was weird. I was like,
this happened once before.
Did Ryo pop up into the stream? Like,
Ryo's come to get me finally.
That was because I opened the live stream in the web browser by accident.
Whoops. Sorry. It's meta.
Yeah, so Mets. Although, to be honest, that's probably just because they're more marketable to boys, and I strongly agree with you all that there is no rival of Tamers, and if there was, it would be Rika. Yeah, marketability. That's, I don't know.
It's but Rika is so much cooler.
It is. And I mean, marketing is just like it's a self-reinforcing cycle. Like, as soon as there's like a bit of a difference, like marketing kind of as a machine, its purpose and the easiest way to use it is to like kind of reinforce that difference as much as possible. Just so frustrating.
I have a lot of moral qualms with myself working. I am on the editorial team at my company, but we are a subset of the marketing team, which can be a struggle for me sometimes.
Hmm. Speaking of struggles, Frontier feedback now. the winner of the Rico's dialogue draft was my quote somehow. The one about Koji being like, hey, Jeep, are you okay? And JP just
It's just so weird.
It is so weird. And it's also just so weird how he doesn't say it to Koji. He's not like, did you call me Jeep? He's like, did Koji-senpai call me Jeep?
Yeah, did Koji-senpai call me?
I'm actually curious. I'm not sure. I wonder in Japanese, like, do like these kids, because I mean, like I mentioned, like in that scenario, Koji is not JP-senpai. JP is supposed to be, or Junpei, whatever, is older than I think everyone else. But I'm curious if I don't think in Japanese they use senpai. I don't even know if like when talking to Joe if they use senpai.
I mean, do you use senpai for these kids? Seem fairly young.
Yeah, I mean you would. I think it's just like you would only do it when you're emphasizing the senpai relationship. You wouldn't just like add it on the end whenever you're talking in any situation.
Jeff's too busy playing with her cat.
And we got a Tumblr anon saying, I love your podcast, but some of the stuff said made me roll my eyes, lol. It sounds like it's referring to a specific episode. So I'm wondering what
are all these Tumblr ones new? Did we just never pay attention to this before?
No, we paid attention. We haven't really, I mean, we've gotten, I'm trying to make a better effort to like reply to them on air, but we did get things on Tumblr that were usually like not super related to what we've just talked about. They've related to things in the past, but we definitely got in the past couple weeks, like more anons. We usually didn't get any anons.
Weird.
And
I mean, I feel like in the inevitability of us having recorded like over 100 episodes of this podcast at this point, like, yeah, something's gonna make you roll your eyes because
yeah,
I can't be perfect all the time.
I was gonna say that, like, I mean, like, part of my goal is like, even if we say things that sound absurd, like my whole stuff about the white savior reminiscent narrative, like, I know that's like, as soon as I mention that, people are gonna roll their eyes and be like, oh my god, Jeff, no. But like, partly I feel like if I am an effective communicator, my goal is to, you know, even if they initially roll their eyes, be like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, I understand how there's a connection there. And so I'm like, oh, well, that means like we failed our job if people roll their eyes. But then I'm like, no, there's been plenty of times when like actually use it something, I've been like, I'm rolling my eyes right now, so.
We roll our eyes at each other. It's true. We don't care.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
we were all rolling our eyes at Jeffrey with his white savior nonsense.
I should just not say, like, the more I say white savior narrative, people are going to forget that I'm trying, what I mean, white savior adjacent or reminiscent. Sorry. I just can't say white and savior. The thing is, like, when you say something, Ashley, not the audience, I'm not talking to the audience. When Ashley, you say something that makes me roll my eyes, like, my goal then is to like ask you questions and kind of pull things out of you so that I do not roll my eyes anymore.
I just don't believe I can convince you.
Like, I feel like I've like my goal, like I said, my goal is to like, I feel like I have a good sense of like when I'm saying things and make people roll their eyes and be like, okay, no, here, I'm gonna explain away the eye rolling. I think you say things and don't, and I'm like, oh, okay, actually, I want to figure out, like, I want to preemptively get people to stop rolling their eyes. I want to get myself to stop rolling my eyes. This is too long talk about just eye rolling in general.
Eye rolls. I'm pushing the cat away.
And then the next Tumblr anon said, repeating, I don't care, and this is garbage, is just bad commentary. LOL. So.
That was very pointed at me.
Is it? I didn't know what it was pointed at. But I guess.
Like, I'm the only one who says garbage.
Oh, maybe.
I like to think that at least when I say this is garbage, that I will back up reasoning for why I think. So I don't think that point is valid. Saying right. that I don't care is like, I can't change my feelings that easily about what I do or do not care about. So.
Yeah. And yeah, I think, yeah. hopefully you find more to this podcast than it's just, hopefully you find more than just us saying things are garbage, or like we back things up. We also have different viewpoints, and like inevitably there are gonna be times when like one person says this is garbage and it's like, okay, but like we just had different perspectives. I was thinking about this while listening to podcasts today, where I was like, I just disagree so strongly with everything you're saying right now, and I wish I could just be like, oh, here are all the ways in which you're wrong.
I mean, we all feel that at some point, though, about something.
Right. We also, the part of the goals in having, like, four different perspectives is that, like, to get the ways in which people's perspectives just differ. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, okay, the logic they're all following is frustrating. Yeah, that can be really frustrating. But hopefully when we have four different opinions, like, opinion's kind of just an opinion. You can't really fault someone for being interested in something or not being interested in something. We've gone through half the episode. Okay.
Cool.
And May from Lost in Translation on Twitter mentioned, they clarified something that we had talked about in the episode about the weird
Zoe looking down her pants after they get thrown through a portal.
I'm trying to remember what the justification was in the dub, though. Like, was there any speech? Was there any dialogue given to justify it?
I don't think so.
It just happened.
It was just like Takuya said something mean to her, and then she looked down her skirt, and like nothing else happened.
I mean, in retrospect, this answer seems like, oh yeah, of course, that makes so much sense. Like, seems kind of obvious, but I guess we didn't think about what it was because we were like, what happens in Japanese? And they clarified that in the Japanese version, so in the scene in episode 24 where Zoe is grabbing her skirt, in the original, Takuya says she's heavy, so she's actually checking for fat. Oh, so I guess, yeah, it's after they fall, and I guess she fell on him.
Yeah, she fell on him.
And still, like, that's not... She's just, like,
checking Takuya, maybe you're just weak. Why don't you think about that, bro?
Yeah. What is the next... Oh, okay, the next one isn't really a comment. It's more just, like, I just wanted to... digivolve my differences on thoughts about the episode 22 stuff. And I mean, part of the reason I'm thinking about this more is that I was much busier. I was good up until 403 about reading all of System Restore, A.R. Pulver's reviews of Digimon on System Restore before recording the episode, which helped like make me think about things. And I, starting on 403 and definitely 404. 404 was when Zelda came out. But starting
forward, Zelda has destroyed Jeff's life. Yeah, life true. Update. Zelda destroyed it.
It's true. I've played like over 100 hours, like 25% through the game. So it's a 400 hour game. Anyway, yeah. So I was good until 403, and then I didn't get a chance to read his reviews before we record the episode. On System Restore, there's a good write up and review of episode 22, which talks like in similar lines of thinking of what we talked about, comparing it to the adventure episode. And also, May on Lost in Translation Mon did a comparison of I can't think of how to describe the Takuya's day trip.
Gosh, I'm just gonna look it up.
And it's in Lost in Translation Mon episode 96 with the won't, which also with the won't is a great title.
With the won't.
I'm kind of frustrated I never thought about it. But, yeah, and also we were so proud, it sounds weird to frame it, I guess. We were so proud of having the journey reference in the recap.
Were we?
I thought it was a great pun that Andrew came up with, but okay. it was apparently in Adam's review back from when, I think it was like 2013, 2014. It's really not new. Nothing.
Apparently it's just called Home Again, Takuya Returns.
Yeah, even Home Away from Home, I wonder if do people get, like, when I say Home Away from Home, do people like, oh, yeah, that's Adventure Episode 21? Or is it just like, I think I just said it in my head so many times I think of it as being obvious, but I don't think it is. What is our cat doing? This is the cat podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway. but yeah, some things I've been thinking about the episodes. Comparing it to Adventure more explicitly, both episodes are contrived in a way the other one isn't. So Ty's being sent home after he beats Edamon is like completely contrived. Like, it doesn't make sense in the rules of the universe. It's kind of just like a thing happens, and then the ramifications of that are interesting, and it definitely has like a big impact on the season, which this episode does not really have a big impact on the season. People don't even like, he never even talks about that he went home. Like, no one knows that he went home. In comparison, like, when Ty goes home, it, like, breaks apart the group, and they definitely all know he disappeared. Anyway, and Takuya's body, right? Takuya's going home is much less contrived, although it's not really explained how it really goes on, but it's much less, like, he chooses to go home because he's depressed about losing, instead of just, like, he won, and now he's sent home arbitrarily. And I think also Frontier presents a lot more interesting questions. In particular, because Takuya chooses in the end to not, like, Ty doesn't really have, I mean, we don't really assume that Ty would ever stay and not go back to the Digiworld, right? Like.
Sure, but that's just like, I guess, the plot contrivance of they're the main character.
Right. In the framing of both of them, they can't just choose to stay there.
They could. That would be weird.
That'd be great. Just have the rest of the season with them. Just
like, yeah.
Because, I mean, Crosswords kind of does that. Not quite like that. Halfway through the first, like, at this point, like, around episode 26 or so, they go home and then kind of, like, leave behind the side characters and then get new side characters, kind of.
Yeah.
So, like, that would be interesting. Just, like, leave the main character home and then...
Yeah.
No, that would be bizarre. That would be so... Like, if everyone hated the main character and they just, like, wrote them out of the show, that would be fascinating just to watch that train wreck happen. But... Yeah, so I guess, yeah, both of them have that framing of they can't actually choose to stay. No one would expect them to choose to stay. But I feel like for Ty, it was much more a matter of, like, how pressing is it that he comes back? It was always a vacation. It was always a break. And it's just, like, how urgent is his coming back? Whereas Takuya, it's like he's actually choosing to do something and then he chooses not to do something. He chooses to go along with what, like, he chooses that there was a reason for his coming there and to not undo history. And a perspective I thought was really interesting hearing Jay and Lost in Translation talk about it is him not knowing who Koichi was.
Uh-huh.
And like the time travel mechanics means that when Takuya goes back as Flamon, there's Takuya, there's old time, past timeline Takuya and Flamon. And he actually, I think his first thought was that was what was going on with Koji and Koichi.
Because
they really play up. They're like, it's another Koji.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, we know it's Koichi. So we're like, yeah, sure, it's another Koji. But like, from that perspective, like, you're thinking about him, there being duplicates around. Like, it's.
But he's Flamon. I don't know.
Right. They could have manifested differently, but Jay started to speculate that, like, they all got sent home and that was, like, Koji was sent. And like, I think that's so much more fascinating to, like, think about how. Like, why was Koji sent home this other way? Why is he not talking to Takuya? Why is he, like, being close? Does he have some other mission? Like, there's so much more intrigue, especially also, like, what happened to the other kids? Are they also sent home? I don't know. I think it is an interesting, red herring once you start going down that line of thought, which I assume is what was intended.
But then did any of us think that when we watched it for the first time as kids? Like, I don't.
That's what I found difficult. I can't remember at all.
I mean, yeah, I don't explicitly remember, but I don't think that's what my childhood mind would not be looking for parallels like that.
No, but I think it's difficult for this season in particular because, for at least for us that were watching it on network, I think everyone watched, anyway, like the schedule, we were watching it primarily through reruns and then awkwardly with new episodes interspersed within the reruns. It wasn't like Saturday morning are the new episodes. It was like there's a time slot Monday through Friday. And the Monday one had new episodes. But I definitely, like, as a kid, didn't, like, was like, there tend to be newer episodes on Mondays. But, like, so I feel it would not be surprised if we had seen an episode with Koichi before that. Like, we might not have seen it in the right order. It's very possible. More possible in other seasons, I think.
Maybe.
Anyway, I think it's just an interesting red herring because then, like, you might not even see, like, oh, he's the guy behind Duskwan coming. Although... they definitely make that clear before that is fully revealed. Like, they show the, like, I forget when it is exactly. I guess it's when he's fighting at the end of this arc that we're covering now. The one where, Beowulfmon first evolves. Like, when there's just, like, another Koji within Duskwan. That's the point where I assume it becomes super clear.
Acadia Stevens in the chat says Koji is actually the only other kid to have a half human, half Digimon form.
Oh yeah, there's artwork for that. I forget what he is called, but there's a thing you can look out for that. And a lot of people are like, oh, I wish they were. I mean, yeah, they all should have had them. That would have been nice. Would have been cool.
Does it come up in the show?
No, not in the show. I don't know what material they're actually in or why they had designed it.
Okay.
Anyway, we should move on as I awkwardly drown out, make these syllables really long so I can find the clip.
Hope everybody can hear the cat playing. You're gonna fall off.
Stop talking to the cat, Ashley. No one knows what you're doing. You're talking to the cat. Now we have a bunch of questions from listeners. Some of these we might have to shelve because they require actually a decent amount of thought, and we're like, oh my god, that's a big question. And well,
I've got this. Just Jeff.
It's not that they're like, oh my god, important, life-changing questions, but they're just like, there's so many possible answers and I haven't. Maybe we'll just think about them while you're talking. The first one is from Zoe, my favorite, on Twitter, and asking that we're back together because we broke up in episode 4 of 418. Yeah, we what happened? Hikari came into our universe as homeostasis and shone light on evil Jeff, showed him the error of his MRA ways, and canceled Men's Rights Activia podcast.
Which is a shame, because Men's Rights Activia sounds like an amazing podcast.
You know, I should have Googled if that's a real thing. Men's Rights Activia.
Oh, goodness.
That is a Tumblr. Wow. Okay.
No! I mean, maybe it's a good Tumblr.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't actually want to read it right now.
I don't want to read
Yeah, okay. I hope that's not that could very well just be a men's rights thing. Anyway, so we got a question from a Tumblr anon asking us, so just the question in its original form is just, fave villain so far?
In Frontier?
Well, so what I wrote down was, okay, I think the logical way to answer the question would be to answer for Frontier and for all of Digimon. And for Frontier, I think it's pretty easy. Well, I mean, Mercurymon gives him some competition, but I think definitely Duskmon. Like, Duskmon's...
Oh. That's not at all my answer.
Really? I mean...
My answer is Cherubimon.
Yeah, Cherubimon's cool.
I have to say that I appreciated Cherubimon a lot more after taking all the screenshots of him. Not even for the episodes that we're discussing, but the ones for actual 404.
The ones after this. With the faces.
Yes, with the faces and stuff.
Which we already posted on social media.
Yes.
As of the time recording this.
And I was like, you know what? Cherubimon is like, he's a cool dude.
He's a cool dude. I want to hang out with him. We can be bros. We can take over the digital world together.
I mean,
I mean, like I commented in the social media post, it's like, that design is really good at using simple iconography to convey like a whole wide set of emotions. And it's kind of like when he does all those different faces, it's like, this is really just a vehicle for extreme emotions. And
yeah, I think he also has like an intriguing backstory of being the guardian of knowledge, legends, whatever he is. And then,
yeah, like we talk about a lot more in 404.
Yeah.
How he is the one beast celestial Digimon.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I dig it, Cherubimon. Okay. All of Digimon, though.
I should answer, like, why Duskmon, though? I mean,
fine.
Like, Duskmon doesn't, like, you know, there's not, like, all this analysis I can put on top of it. I can't be like, oh, here are the reasons why Duskmon is so cool. I mean, it's really just, like, he is very effectively intimidating. He's very effectively, like, a roadblock. And, like, they seem to be, like, they're at their height. They're like, we've collected all the beast spirits. We've got this. We've all the tools in our arsenal. We've been set up. We can take down Cherubimon. And Duskmon's, they're like, no, you are so out of your league. And is just able to completely crush them. And I don't know. It's not, like, an amazing moment when you compare it to other things that Digimon has done. But I think it is one of the highlights of Frontier, of them just being completely crushed by Duskmon.
He has a cool design his
design is
different
really
way
cool.
than Cherubimon.
Yeah. And they like, yeah. I think it does its purpose of being an intimidating threat out of nowhere. Well, I guess not out of nowhere, because you see his design for quite a while. But it also makes no sense. All the different eyes.
It's fine. It looks cool. Functional.
It looks cool. So all Digimon?
All of Digimon. Oh boy. Okay. Do people like Ken and Beelzemon count?
I mean, it depends how you define villain. I mean, people define villains differently. My first thought was Beelzemon. But yeah. Then I kind of like... My first thought was Beelzemon because I was like, okay, he's not like a full outright villain in that he is almost too sympathetic. Like, but that's what I like about that he's not like... I wonder how much you can hear Pixel on this. I hope it's not too bad. He's a whiny brat. He is Tommy.
He is
Tommy in the flashback, not present-day Tommy. But yeah, I think I like that Beelzemon is not complete. Like, it's like everything about what he's doing to be evil when he's evil and, you know, kills Leomon is things that we've seen in the show. We've seen him go through that entire arc. I guess we don't see his initial, like, why he's so rebellious and why he doesn't get along with people in the very beginning.
I mean, they show it through flashbacks, sure.
Right, I guess we do see some of that. Right. But so, like, yeah, but in the end, he's not a villain for that long. And he's not, like, the most... Well, I don't know. I mean, what would you answer? Because I think, now that I've, like, given all those reasons, I think I would go with him.
I mean, I would say Beelzebub. He's cool.
He's cool.
He does bad things and then gets redeemed. It's the type of villainy I like.
Right. Right, he does bad things. And it's also so much... I think it's more powerful to watch because you know he's not bad, and...
Yeah, but I think... Normally, I don't like any evil characters. Like, I don't know. Just not into that. But that's kind of why Shiryuman is interesting for me personally, because he doesn't actually get redeemed. So that's nice.
You're saying Shiryuman does not get redeemed?
Yeah.
Because, I mean... Well, I mean, we haven't gotten to it.
Whoa.
But it's like... I mean, it's like... He's effectively possessed, or like, I mean...
Sure, I guess he's, like, exonerated.
Yeah, he's exonerated. He gets a stamp from the president. I don't know, like, I mean, yeah, it is kind of exoneration. I mean, I think, like, I think the, like, the prime example of a, like, villain who is outright evil and is never redeemed is Myotismon.
You know, yeah, I don't care about Myotismon. See, this is an instance where I think I'm allowed to say I do not care because I personally just don't care.
I think my answer would probably be Asher's answer.
Probably. Which is fine. Asher and I never agree about anything. So.
I'm trying to think of any other like big highlights though. Oh, there's Blackwork Greymon.
Oh, I do love Blackwork Greymon. He's fun. In a nonsense way.
I mean, I think if I had to go with my raw gut, I might put Blackwork Greymon above Beelzebub, but Beelzebub's more like the thinking answer. It's a little more bulletproof. I can like point to it as actual, you know, like if you were to show Digimon to someone who isn't super nostalgic for it and they watch Tamers, like Beelzebub's something, they could actually be like, yes, I can see why you appreciate that. It's not like the most advanced or complex thing that anime has done, but it's like a competent thing. Show them 02 and Blackwork Greymon, and they'll be like, this is completely laughable. I don't understand why you have any attack to do this. I'll be like, but I do. It. He's the coolest.
He's so cool.
I named my... Wait, did I name my forum handle? Yes. No, inverted. I was initially Blackwork Greymon. And then... But I didn't capitalize my name. So it was just Blackwork Greymon in all lowercase 25. And then I was like, I don't like how that looks. So then I wanted to change my name to Tai Kamiya 25. But like, changing names in this forum wasn't allowed. I ever told you the story?
Yes.
Okay, like, changing names in the forum wasn't allowed. So I pretend, like, I claimed that I was hacked. Like, I made a new account, called it Tai Kamiya 25, and was like, I'm this guy, but my account was hacked and I can't get into it anymore. I'm confessing it. Now everyone knows my deepest secret. I'm the villain. I'm my favorite villain. I was so evil.
Eric Povler says, watch Myotismon get redeemed in his inevitable reappearance. Oh no!
Like, what? What if he and Maki are the reason that Maki and Daigo broke up? What if she started dating Myotismon and then he's fighting for her this whole time?
What's Licky Genii doing in this conundrum? I think Licky Genii and Myotismon are a couple.
Just calling him Licky Genii.
Licky Genii.
So we have a bunch of questions. I think we're not going to be able to get to all of them. And they're a lot more thought-provoking questions, so that'll be good. But we get to, I think, at least one more. Do you like anything about this season?
It's also a real struggle.
Oh, really? Is it really a struggle to like anything about the season? I don't think it's a struggle to like anything. What?
Trailmon?
Oh, there's a Trumpmon. I was like, Ashley, there's no Trumpmon.
Trumpmon!
What are you talking about? Don't bring Trump into this.
Franken Trailmon is a treasure.
But you agree, like, it's not a struggle to like anything about it. There are lots of little things to like.
There are lots of little things to like that don't add up to much of a whole.
I feel like that is kind of how Digimon is in general. That it's a bunch of little things to like.
I agree, but the problem is that I personally do not like any of these characters. Like, I don't, like, actively dislike all of them, but I'm not, like there's none that I'm like, yes, I feel you. Like, whereas in Koji, other seasons,
Koji, I don't feel him. He's literally a lone wolf.
No. I think I might, I probably felt him a lot when I was younger, but now I'm just like, whatever, bro.
Yeah.
Whereas in previous seasons, I have been like, yes, TK, TK is the best. And Rika gets crapped on all the time, but yeah. She's the best.
I mean, I guess I do feel like what Frontier is mainly lacking, like the main thing it's lacking that I think causes such a split in the critical reception is that attachment to characters. Is that like, yeah. I identify with like you and me, we're buddy. Like,
we're the best.
Yeah. We're like, I am you, like you are my stand-in for this story, whatever. I think it really lacks that like strong emotional connection that the other seasons. I mean, even eventually, like, I didn't feel like that with any of the characters really, but it was still, like all of the characters still had really strong presences and like there are shades of things I liked in all of them. And I find I couldn't choose my favorite character in Frontier or sorry, in Adventure, but I think everyone resonates with them really well. In general, but Frontier, it's like, I think it has all these other interesting elements, but like character depth and character likability isn't one of those things. And I think that's something that, like, if it's not there, a lot of people will just completely turn off.
I mean, it's not even that like individually these characters are not that great. It's like when you put them together as a whole, like their interactions, you get a lot of interactions between different characters. They have different dynamics in Adventure when there is like 7 or 8 of them at any given time, plus their Digimon. Whereas with this, they don't have Digimon. They...
What?
What? They, like, are not that great at, like, there's no, I'm not like, oh my god, Takuya and Zoe, they're so fascinating whenever they interact. It's like, no. The only one that had any feeling was Tommy and Takuya, and it's like, that's like an episode.
Yeah, I never thought of it, but like, there's never... Maybe it's just because I don't remember what happens in the rest of this. But there are, I can't really imagine a, like, seeing them get divided and then be like, I'm excited to see how this dynamic comes out. I'm excited to see what happens when they talk to each other on their own. Because then I'm just kind of like, yeah, there's not going to be much there.
Yeah.
Like,
And so it's just like on every level, characters are like wholly uninteresting in Frontier.
Yeah. I mean, but there definitely are like, exceptions. Like, there are people that we interact with on Twitter and stuff who strongly relate to Kari. I'm thinking of at least Toma the Yoshi, I think is their Twitter handle, who strongly relates to Tommy. And I think there's a trend. I think I've seen at least a couple people who strongly relate to Tommy. I mean, clearly Zoe's my favorite, relates to Zoe. Or is at least just like Zoe's my favorite of these ones.
Oh gosh. I really struggle to understand that point of view, but like, that's fine. You're allowed to have.
I mean,
your
among
points of view.
The thing is, Zoe, she has so much potential that's undiscovered. It's potential energy. It hasn't been released into kinetic energy yet. Anyway, we have a bunch more questions that we'll get to in the next feedback episode, but if you want to, you can keep sending us questions and we will eventually answer them. Maybe next time we'll focus more on the questions and less on the feedback and other stuff. And if you want to send us questions, we'll put a call out on social media for a feedback episode asking for questions. You can also just send it to us via email or social media at any point. We'll add it to the running queue of questions. Is it a stack? No, it's a queue. It's a queue. Anyway. Now. Now it's time to recommend some plug hugs. Snug your plug.
Oh god.
Snug your recommendation.
This is the hardest question for me, Jeffrey.
I'm trying to think, what did I recommend in T4.1? I didn't write down. I'm not sure what I did.
Wouldn't it have been on the website? I don't know.
Oh, is it on the website? I might not have filled in that metadata for that feedback episode. Yeah, I didn't fill it in. We didn't do it. We skipped it, I think. We
were running out of time.
This time we have like a... We can have like a minute where I'll recommend Zelda again.
Oh my god.
Last time all I said was like I was really trepidatious about it. I didn't think it would be good, and then it was amazing. I think I'll compound now that after having played it for like 100 more hours, I think it's still amazing. I don't think most people are going to find it as amazing as I do. I don't think most people are going to play it in the way that I do, which is to basically scour everything. And I assume by this point I would get sick of that, but it's like, I'm even more bought into that. I'm like, if I were to just go and just do the, like, the highlights that I think most people do, they go, like, they only go for the shiny things on the map. They go for the, basically the shrines and don't look at all the scenery in between. And I'm like, I don't see how you can do that because there are so many things to explore. And it's like, yeah, the mechanics, like the things, the rewards you get in game for those things are not that great, but like just seeing the scenery, like I just really like seeing the scenery. Everything feels really well planned out. And like the world just feels designed well. And there are so many bits to the backstory and lore that I'm like, that, you're like, oh yeah, there's a reservoir there because these two factions work together to prevent flooding in this other area of the map. It's like so weird to see the map and world design fit into the story so surprisingly well. And I mean, I've done so little of the story. I don't know. Maybe that's just like one isolated part of the story. And like none of the other story connects to those kind of, works in that kind of way. It's very possible, but it's great. And I should go.
I don't know what to recommend, though. Let me think about it some more. Everything that I like is so mediocre, but I just like it.
I mean, 13 Reasons Why came out. You're not going to recommend that?
I think I already recommended it, though.
The TV series, though.
I think I recommended the book because of the TV series, though. Yeah,
but do you recommend the TV series now that it's out?
I only watched 2 episodes.
It wasn't that good?
Let's see. Is it good? It's different. It's good. It has some good changes. I wouldn't be like, it's not amazing.
Cool story. We don't have time to dilly dally. Dilly dally, shilly shy on this. You can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podigest.com/403.5. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode. Like how episode 22 is the best thing ever and only heathens say that it's bad.
Yeah.
You can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Well thread, or the Digimon subreddit there for episode 403, which will probably be buried in the subreddit, but I guess if you like search subreddit for Digimon or for Prodigious and 403, you'll find it. Anyway, our new Agumon artwork is by Jubia Majo on DeviantArt, and it's cool. You should check them out.
Okay. Patches is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion Patrimon, the infamous, famous Diabjomon. Infamous.
I still think we should have a Patreon reward here. You can choose whether you're famous or infamous.
Okay, cool. I'll work on that. Who is at Tokujo on Twitter, Joe Kido, Kai Lunamon, Kaiserwashi. I said that weirdly. I don't know. Michael Penne. And Red from fellow Digimon podcast, Breakfast with Digimon. Our ultimate Patrimon. I can never do the cadence of this right. Alvaro Crimson Mode.
What is so hard about saying 3 words?
It's so hard for me. The last 2 have to be epic. Alvaro Crimson Mode. See, I reversed it.
That was the fourth from last. It was not the last 2.
Yep. David Graumon. And our mega Patrimon. Marcus, Jeff's being a crazy face. Yeah. They digivolved, but we didn't update this doc. But I just know. And Sam Kruagamon, who is on the Moncast. And their official vlog is purple-pixel.tumblr.com, which is their partner's Tumblr.
I just like, I have a script of this, so it doesn't run on too long. And then you're like, let me take like 3 times as long to get through this basic script. If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon. For $1 a month, you can join our private group chat on Slack, where we have, I don't know what's been, we haven't actually started yet, but we're thinking of doing this thing where we, in there, basically choose a time of the week where we all sit down and watch an episode of anime together, and then, like, you know, text chat as we're watching it, reactions, and then also discuss a little bit afterwards, and we're going to try the first one this Saturday. So, I guess if you, like, hurry to become a Patreon right away, and then, or you could also just join in later. But yeah, hopefully it should be fun and might be a thing we keep doing. We're going to do it, like, Saturday morning, a big Saturday morning cartoons kind of feel.
Only one cartoon, though.
Well, yeah, only one cartoon, but that's back, like, back in the day, Digimon would be the only one anyone cared about, right? Wouldn't watch anything else. Pokemon was, yeah. No one watched Pokemon. Anyway, You can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scenes notes for $3 a month, a new sticker and button every month for $10, ability to choose episode topics for $15, and a monthly Skype hangout with me and Ashley for $25 a month. And we have 1 minute left in the thingy thing, so...
You can find Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. You can find me on Twitter at AshMcT00, and you can find Jeff on Twitter at DefinitelyJeff. I'm not going to give him a chance.
We do not prepare this, so share the podcast with your friends who also do not prepare enough for the live feedback episode, and so they don't have anything to say here.
Also, I am going to stream Cyber Sleuth starting tomorrow night around...
Oh, really? Okay.
Eight. Yes!
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I chose the time, but okay. Are you ready for the episode we're recording this weekend with that?
I'm going to watch 4 episodes of Digimon tonight, and then at least 2 tomorrow, and then 2 on Saturday morning. I don't know, something like that.
Join us in a couple days. That's not true. What is this? I copied this over. I didn't replace it. Join us soon. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the schedule. Join us soon for, as we cover, what is the Cherubimon arc?
Cherubimon 37.
We sync this up so
perfectly. 37.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving.